May the Lord, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow, increase and overflow for each other, for each other,
and for everyone else. Amen. Amen. I actually wanted to start with that text, so that's fine that it fell down. Because I think God's given us that text for a reason this year. It's a target for us. You know, sometimes we have little goals for ourselves, or if you're somebody like me, you might have little goals for yourself. What God's doing with us as individuals. But God wants to do something with us as a fellowship. Because we are not just individuals. We are Christians and we are part of a body. And the body we are part of is Broadfield Christian Fellowship. He doesn't want us to be individual Christians alone. That is not his plan. His plan is that we should be joined together as a fellowship. And we have a target as a fellowship. That is where he wants us to be at the beginning of 2013. With our love increasing to such an extent that it is overflowing to the rest of Broadfield. It's got to start with us. Our love for each other has got to increase and get deeper. Then it will automatically overflow. And other people will be drawn in. That's the target that God's given us. The last time I preached, I wanted to preach on that. And I felt God saying to me, there's a lot of people hurting here. Do you remember? And I felt God say to me, tell them that I know what it is to hurt. And we talked about Jesus knowing what it was to feel physical pain and to know what it was to feel emotional pain. And I feel a little bit that God's saying, well, there's still quite a bit of pain in the fellowship, which we don't want. Do we? No. That's why we prayed for physical healing. But we don't want that physical sickness. And we don't want emotional hurt. Because what happens when people are hurting? Do they increase? Does their vision increase? What happens to their vision? It decreases. Their world becomes smaller when they're hurting. The pain becomes bigger. And their world becomes smaller. And God doesn't want that. He wants our vision to get bigger. He wants our vision to include each other. He doesn't want us to be individuals that are protecting ourselves from hurt. Remember we played that clip from Madonna, which said, you know, you're frozen when your heart's not open. And often people that are hurting, that's what they do, that they come in on themselves. Not only do they not go out to others, they even protect themselves from love coming towards them. And so we just can't get there, can we? If we're hurting. That's what God wants. And somehow I feel we've got to deal with all this hurt. And I was thinking, well, Father, how did you deal with people that were hurting? And this may not be an obvious one, but what came to my mind was Elijah in 1 Kings 19. I will find verse 3, I think it was. here's Elijah, and it says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the desert by himself, he's walking into the desert. And he came to a broom tree and he sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." And he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. That's a picture of somebody that's really hurting, isn't it? He was a great prophet, but he's gone off by himself. He's gone into the desert. He's sitting under a tree and he's saying, "Take my life, Lord. I've just had enough. I'm hurting. Just let me die." What does God do when people are feeling hurt like that? Does he say, "Get up? You know better than that"? Does he shake him? What does God do when somebody feels that low? For those that don't know the story, it's amazing what God does. He sends an angel to bake some fresh bread for Elijah. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him with some more fresh bread. God saw Elijah hurting and he said, "You need some rest, Elijah. You need some fresh food. That's what you need." He didn't shake him. He didn't tell him off. He brought him very, very practical comfort. And I feel that actually God's saying to some people here, that's what you need to do. You actually need to rest. You actually need to look after yourself. Eat some proper food. Look after your body. You're trying to do too much. You need rest. God is a very practical God. He knows that he has made us body, soul and spirit. That is body, the soul is our mind and emotions and spirit. And if we get out of kilter in one of those areas, we start to hurt. Our body often gives us warning that too much is going on in our head and our emotions. We know that from people telling us stress brings illness, doesn't it? People trying to do more than they have the capacity to do just causes physical problems. God says, "Stop it. You're trying to do more than I'm asking you to do," because God doesn't want us in stress, ever. And if we are in stress, we've got to ask, are we doing more than God's asking us to do? Is more going on in our head and emotions that God's saying, actually, that's not your business? Are we trying to work things out for other people? And God's saying, that's my problem. You leave them to me. Are we stressing ourselves out, judging other people? And God says, that is not your business. Your business is only to bless people. Why are you stressing yourselves about things that are not your business? It's as though God's saying, take note of your body. I've given it you. And it's sort of, when it's ringing alarm bells, something is wrong. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, God puts his Holy Spirit into our body. As soon as we become Christians, he lives in us. And he wants to use our body to bless others. He wants to use what we say. He wants to use our hands. He wants to use our feet to bless other people. And if our body's a mess, well, that's the way that God's plan is to bless others, through us. What use are we if we're abusing our bodies? Because that's his plan, to bless others through us. So I just felt that God was saying, you know, look after your body. And maybe some of us too, I felt God was saying, are you going to be like that angel that came to Elijah? Maybe you're the one that needs to help other people in this respect, to encourage others. I was just thinking, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking of Michelle and her weighing machine on a Wednesday morning, encouraging people to look after themselves. Being like an angel there, really. We need to encourage one another in that way. But it's not only physical hurt, it's emotional hurt. And when I was thinking about people that hurt emotionally, the person that really came to mind was David. I don't know what it must have been like for David. He knew he was God's anointed one. And yet Saul was so wrapped up in his jealousy that he was pursuing him to kill him. And he had to keep fleeing from him. And I thought, it must have been dreadful to be Samuel. And I thought about the time when David could easily have killed Saul, and he doesn't. Because it's not his place to kill the Lord's anointed. And Saul recognizes David's voice, because David's saying to the people, look, I could have killed Saul. And then Saul says, Saul recognized David's voice and said, is that your voice, David, my son? And David replied, yes, it is, my lord, the king. And he added, why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done? And what wrong am I guilty of? Now let my lord, the king, listen to his servant's words. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, men have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have now driven me from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, go serve other gods. Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea as one hunts a partridge in the mountains. And then Saul says, I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. David's in that place, and yet the very beginning of the next chapter it says, David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. David's in a place where people, Saul is really abusing him. He's so consumed with jealousy. David must have been hurting such a lot. And I thought, what did David do when he hurt that much? And of course, we know that he wrote the Psalms, didn't he? And he wasn't backward in telling God what life was like for him. There's loads of Psalms where he complains. got a couple here. One where he says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. David is honest about how he feels before God, and that's when we're hurting, that's where we need to be. We need to tell God it hurts. We need to not pretend that it's not hurting. We need to say, God, I don't know what I've done to that person, but they do this and they do that, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And we just need to be absolutely honest before God. And as David complained and complained to God, you've here towards the end of each psalm where he's complaining, he says at the end, this, for instance, at the end of Psalm 35, he says, my tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praises all day long. Because when we actually start complaining to God about all the things that are going wrong, it's as though the more we go on, the more we realise, yeah, but you suffered like that, didn't you, Lord? And you've given me promises, and you're faithful. And we can almost talk it out before God, and he brings us to a place, well, he should bring us to a place of, you know, of confession and forgiveness. Sometimes it takes us a time to get there. Sometimes we actually, I feel, need to speak out to other people as well. Especially, I was thinking of the fellowship. There's a lot of people that live on their own or live with not having another Christian they can share with. And often God wants us to share with someone else, because it's sometimes in actually speaking it out we can process it and understand a bit more what's happening. We understand ourselves a bit more as we actually verbalise what's going wrong. I know that that's happened sometimes at house group when somebody's had a particular burden, something's gone wrong, and it's been right at that time just to let them share it and for us to minister to each other, to pray for them. Because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're not supposed to pretend we're all okay all the time. And sometimes it may be that, you know, a house group is too big a place. So, you know, we've got a pastoral team. Does everybody know we've got a pastoral team? And you can ask for a visit. We are there to visit you. And if you've got something that's on your heart that you want to get off your heart, ask for a visit and we will come and let you talk and we will listen and pray and get the things sorted out. Because often it takes time to work things through. And the deeper the hurt, the longer it takes. It may take more than one visit, but that's okay because we want to be there for each other. We want people to be in a place where they can heal. I think it's for us to get where we are as a fellowship now to where we want to be. It's a little by little process. You know, God often takes us step by step. And so it may be that if you're not coming to church at 10 o'clock for the coffee, maybe that's a little step that you need to take so that you can get to know people. Because how can we love one another if we don't know each other? if we don't know each other, we just become acquaintances, don't we? And you know how you talk to acquaintances? You say, how are you? And they say, fine. And you leave it at that. Does God want that in the church? Do you think that's what he wants? I don't think it is. I don't think that that verse is talking about making us acquaintances with everybody in the church. It's about making us friends that care. So that we need to be a little bit bolder. So that when somebody says, how are you? You say, well, okay, but actually I'm not feeling too good this way or the other way. Or even just, I'm having a difficult time. Could you pray for me? You don't even have to ask people to pray for you then and there, although you can. We need to get a little bit bolder with sharing with each other. Because we need to know each other to love each other. Relationships are built on knowing each other, aren't they? If you don't really know people, you don't really care, do you? And it's actually as we get to know people, the love starts to grow. Have you noticed that? If ever there's anybody that you don't get on with very well, I think that the answer always is to pray for them. And as you pray for them, it's amazing what God does. He starts to give you a love for them and a caring for them. The devil says to us that if we share with people what we're really like, nobody will like us. And that is a lie of the devil. Because he doesn't actually want us to get to know each other and love each other. He wants us all separate. He's absolutely against God's plan, which is to make us a church. He doesn't want us to reach that target, does he? He wants us to stay acquaintances, each having our own little hurts. That's what he wants. So he'll tell us all sorts of reasons why we shouldn't start to get to know each other better. But actually, God wants us to become closer, for our love to increase and overflow. So we're to get to know each other. And one thing I feel is to ask God how we can bless each other. Do you do that on a Sunday? Do you come to church on a Sunday and ask God to make you a blessing? Because that's what he really wants. He wants us to be a blessing to each other. However that might be, he wants us to talk to each other. When we've sung for somebody's birthday, try and remember it next week and ask them what sort of a birthday they had. Start to build up a rapport. Start to get to know each other. If it's possible for you to get to a Wednesday coffee shop or a Friday meal, start to think, is that what God wants me to do? Does he want me to get to know people better? Because I know he wants me to love them more. I feel it's praying for others that is really what helps us to grow. And I'm not very good at this, but now we've got on the news flash some names each week, haven't we, that we can pray for. Or we can just be quiet with God and say, who do you want me to pray for? Sometimes I just do that. I'm just quiet before God, and whoever comes to mind, just lift them up. Start praying for them. And it's amazing what God does. He wants us to listen to him. I don't know who was at the weekend when we had Tracy, wave your hand. And we were learning to listen to God for each other. We were quite, do you know, remember in house groups? You were very good at it, Francis, I remember that. We just used to be in threes, didn't we, in house group. And just sat quietly and said, Father, what do you want to say to that person? And it's amazing. God spoke to all of us. And he gave us amazing words. He wants to talk to us all of the time. And as he talks to us, faith increases in us for what he's saying for that person. And I just feel that we've lost a little bit of that, because God does speak to us when we're quiet, when we take the time. I know for me, I used to, if we were in a little three, I would imagine holding hands with the person I was praying for and sort of walking them up to Jesus in heaven and saying, Jesus, this is my friend Francis, or whoever it was. What do you want to say to them? And then I'd stop. Do you know, God was so gracious. He would say. And then when we shared it with that person, it was such a blessing. God wants us to be better and better at hearing what he's got to say. It takes quietness and time to listen to him. But that's the best way, I feel, that we can bless each other, by praying for each other and encouraging one another, so that we will have a love for each other that will increase and overflow. And I thought it would be good if we could just, as a little exercise, do that again. Who was there when we used to do that in house group in threes? Because I can remember, Francis, you were so good at it. Carol, you were, weren't you? Yeah. And Caroline. God spoke to us, didn't he? You know, he wants to talk to us. So if I don't know whether we've got any quiet music we can have, or we can just have quiet if you like. And I'm just... ask God to put someone on our heart, just someone from the congregation, and then say, Father, how can I bless them?